Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino with a special podcast for you today. We are going to be bringing you a Twitter Spaces that I did on Tuesday. This is something that's kind of new, but also kind of something that I like to do in the past, where back in the day, used to be on Clubhouse all the time. I love getting to talk with everybody from the Survivor community about what they think is going on. I have so much fun getting to talk with the listeners and hearing from new people. It's one of the things that I love to do with the patrons. And so I thought as we were heading into the merge, there's so much variance right now. Anything could happen on Wednesday night, that it would be a fun time to jump in and hear what people, the people on the streets, the Twitter streets, hear what they have to say about this Survivor quote unquote merge. Anybody could be safe. The hourglass could be back. We don't know who's going to flip. It's 4-4-4, six men, six women. It's going to be a really, really fun thing to watch in the 2-hour episode coming up on Wednesday night. No matter what happens on Wednesday, of course, be sure to join us, Stephen Fishback and I, live for the Know-It-Alls right after this. That I thought this went really well. I thought it was very fun. And so I thought I would turn it into a podcast. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Rob Cesternino, and hopefully, if you are enjoying this in the podcast form, we will do more things like that on Twitter Spaces. I love to get the feedback from the listeners in terms of whether they think this worked or not. So please let me know if you think I should be doing more stuff like this in the future, because I think it might be a fun thing to add to the podcast lineup, the occasional check-in on Twitter Spaces. Before we bring you Twitter Spaces in its entirety, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. These are our friends over at Brooklinen. Of course, longtime RJP listeners know we love Brooklinen. It's Mother's Day around the corner. Let's hear it for the moms. Whether they're new mothers, grandmothers, an honorary mom in our life, we know they deserve the best all year round. Give them a gift they'll cherish for years to come with Brooklinen's cozy bedding, towels, and other home essentials. Of course, Brooklinen, they must have been on the mind of the host of Beyond the Edge, Morrow, when he recently said, they put the awe in spa when they make it a spa day every day. And you know, they always have some sort of a spa reward on every season of Survivor, and moms need a spa day more than ever. Bring the spa to them with Brooklinen's extra thick, extra cozy, super plush towels, robes, or the luxurious mulberry silk eye masks and pillowcases. Brooklinen launches new products, colors, and patterns all the time for their sheets, towels, and robes. Think bold pops of color and adventurous prints, with some limited edition collections selling out in as little as 1 month. And I know for a fact, the first lady of podcasting adores the Brooklinen sheets that we have here at our house, and every mom in your life is going to appreciate them too. So gift the comfort refresh that they deserve and get it for less at Brooklinen. Go to brooklinen.com and use the promo code ROB to get $20 off your purchase of $100 or more. That's brooklinen.com. Enter promo code ROB for $20 off. Brooklinen, the curators of comfort, or as I like to say, no sleep till Brooklinen. All right, let's get to my Twitter Spaces talking about predictions for the Survivor merge. All right, we're starting up a Twitter Spaces here on Tuesday. We are getting ready for tomorrow night, 2-hour episode of Survivor coming up, where we're going to get the quote unquote merge episode of Survivor. The contestants are going to, we have 12 people left. They're going to have to seemingly once again earn their way into the merge. I actually watched earlier today. There are two sneak peeks that are available about this upcoming episode of Survivor. And so I'm going to talk about them. I'm going to talk about both the sneak peeks that we saw from this past week. So if you are super duper, I don't want to know anything about what's going to happen. I'm going to talk about what happened in the sneak peeks. Okay. So let me set that up. Also, raise your hand if you want to come on and join me. I love to do stuff like this because I love to hear from different people that are out there listening to the podcast. And so it's so much fun to get to talk to people and hear what you're thinking. So if you've never been on a Twitter space before, all you have to do is ask to be on the stage and I will bring people up and I'll get requests and bring people on and we'll talk about stuff and would love to hear what people have to say as we go through and do a Twitter Spaces. Okay, so the first of the two clips that were revealed, I want to talk about the second one first because I think it's a little bit less important, but we got a little bit of the Vati tribe after Tribal Council going back, and we got to see Chanel admitting about what happened, and Mike is somewhat incredulous about, you know, but why'd you write my name down? And she's like, I just had to save myself. And Hai is like, hey, don't worry. It's the Vati four. The big takeaway there is Mike says, you know, I can never trust Chanel again. You know, I work with her, but you know, I'll never trust Chanel again. Okay. Keep that in the back of our minds going into Wednesday night. By the way, we got a great week coming up on the podcast. Christian Hubicki will join me on Thursday to recap the double episode of Survivor. So very excited about that. And then also we will hear from Tiffany Seely on the feedback show. So should be a very exciting week here coming up on Robin's podcast to cover the 2-hour episode of the show. Then, so the second thing I wanted to talk about from the sneak peeks that we got to see. So we got to see basically a little bit of what we saw in the commercial for this upcoming Next Time on Survivor of Jeff gets everybody there, but it was a little bit more of an extended version where everybody is, you know, hey, okay, everybody drop your buffs. Is this the merge? Not exactly, but taking a look at the challenge, it appears to be also the identical challenge that we saw from season 41 with the giant boulder half buried in the sand. So that's what we see so far going on here. And with the giant boulder buried in the sand, it makes me worry a little bit about, are we potentially going to get, you know, the same hourglass twist? If everything is the same, if the challenge is the same, if the other circumstances are the same, it does make me a little bit worried that maybe the hourglass is coming back. So with that in mind, we'd love to hear from some of you. If you just raise your hand and come on in, let's see. I have a request. Here's a request from, okay, Darren is here. Let's go ahead and hear from Darren and hear what Darren has to say. Okay, let's try this. Darren.
There we go. I'll take myself off mute.
Yes, Darren, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Darren, hey, Darren, cool. You can hear me okay?
I can hear you fine.
Great, great. Darren, did you have any predictions for the Survivor 42 merge?
I mean, not that hot of a prediction.
Yeah.
But kind of just following this line of this is going to be the same challenge. The team that's going to have Jonathan is going to win.
Yeah.
And then the hourglass is going to happen. That person's going to smash it. Jonathan's not going to be safe. It's going to be end up being some sort of maybe balance or, you know, something that the larger guys aren't typically good at. And he's going to be going home.
Yeah.
First merge boot, Jonathan.
Okay, yeah. I mean, if everything holds, I think that could definitely, I could definitely see that. I think the other part of it that I was trying to figure out myself earlier today was that who's going to be the hourglass person? Because that we saw last time, if everything holds the same, where, okay, you know, two people are sitting out of the challenge. Somebody gets to go to the merge feast. Who's going to Exile Island? I think, if I had to guess, I think I'd put my chip on Tori being the Hourglass person.
I was going to say Tori as well.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the giant eye roll.
Yes, she'll get a giant eye roll. She'll go there, and then, all right, Tori, you have a decision to make. What do you want to do? And she's like, F everybody. I hate them all. And then Tori ends up being the person who's safe at the merge if the hourglass holds.
Giant eye roll and a giant smile on her face as she does it.
Mm-hmm. And Darren, if this is how it happens, like, do you think, just to sort of like get into the meta of everything, I mean, would Survivor like build up Jonathan so much and have him be such a fan favorite if he ends up going out in these circumstances where they know everybody's going to be pissed?
I mean, he's going for, you know, the downfall of the hero kind of moment.
Yeah.
I think that's, I could see that the editor's going that way and, you know, kind of, look at this awesome guy, but too bad he got taken out by this dumb twist. I guess people are getting mad about it. Yeah.
It would be just such a self-own of the show of like, hey, here's a guy that, you know, we want you to be excited about. And then we made a twist that he won immunity and then he lost it. And then ultimately that would be, I think people would be super pissed.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not happy with my prediction.
Yeah.
but I just can kind of see, you know, things play out the same, like you mentioned, that it could happen again.
Yeah. This is a big week to get through, I think, because I feel like that almost everybody has almost universal praise for Survivor 42. People seem to be really enjoying it. Is that where you are with it, Darren?
Yeah. And again, you know, coming back to Jonathan, you know, I think, you know, everyone's like, oh, here's the big, you know, kind of dumb guy, but he is like an absolute heart of gold. He's been quite a surprise. My girlfriend and I have been calling him Beach Hulk,
Beach Hulk
on the show, especially after the him pulling the boat through the water, mm-hmm. you know, Marianne just getting dragged behind and pulling everyone with the ladder.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of our nickname we've came up with him is Beach Hulk.
Okay. I don't know how catchy it is, but if it's working for you guys.
Beach I mean, Hulk. I don't, Beach Hunk?
Beach Hulk. Whoa.
There we go.
Okay. But we'll see. Like, this is a big week for the show to get through because that if it's a flop here this week with the hourglass, like I could see like the tenor of like the back half of the season really changing for people.
Yeah, I mean, this could really take some wind out of its sails. I got a couple of people to start watching at work, and if he gets out this
make
way,
you look bad.
Yeah. I'm going to look like a dunce. And, you know, I don't know if they're going to continue watching the show because he's kind of been their favorite character, honestly, on the show as, you know, I think he's a big, you know, Facebook Survivor fan.
No doubt. All right, Darren, thank you so much for the call. Anything else you want to say?
Nope. Just enjoy your show all the time. Listen all the time.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Take care. Bye.
Yep. Bye.
Okay. All right. I have another request here. This is from, the Survivor Wiki wants to talk. Okay. Very exciting. Okay. Let's see. Survivor Wiki.
Hello, Rob. This is Ian from Survivor Wiki, and I'm honored to
Ian,
be part of this.
It's an honor to talk to you. How are you?
It's like, almost 1 a.m. here in Manila, but
yes,
hey, happy to be here.
You're here. Okay. Ian, what's your role with the Survivor Wiki?
So I'm one of its admins, like one of the most frequent editors there, like create pages, create content and such, perhaps edit pages when necessary.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Ian, can I ask you a question just out of my own curiosity? How often does the Survivor Wiki get edited with like misinformation that has to be corrected?
Oh, I get that on a daily basis, really. I mean, there are pages where like, oh, there are trivia pages. Oh, this is where Survivor Wiki is quite notorious for. People like say, oh, Tasha and Eddie are related because they have the same surname.
Yes. Okay.
And I've been waiting for like weeks now, like some editor, random editor would add Jackson in the mix.
Yeah. Okay. And what's the most common piece of misinformation that has to get deleted off of the Survivor Wiki that people keep putting back in there?
I can't remember anything in particular.
Okay.
Perhaps any, if anything, speculations of who's coming back for the next season, who's an alternate, mm-hmm. where there's no really sufficient proof of them being an alternate in the first place.
Okay. All right. So, Ian, what do you have a prediction for the Survivor Merge episode?
I would think that given the negative comments from the players, specifically from Danny,
yeah.
hearing from the from the exit press,
yes.
from the other cast members, I would think that maybe just maybe there's a tweak in the hourglass twist.
I think that there will be a tweak. Like I think it won't. It may not be something that we love, but I think that they have to have had learned from what happened in season 41. And if you hadn't been aware of that, the Survivor 41 cast, I think, spent that whole Merge Tribal Council of like complaining about it. And Danny was furious, and to the point where Jeff was like, hey, let's talk about it. And like, so we know what not to do for future seasons. And Danny's like, I don't care what you do for future seasons. Like, this is not a twist. This was a lie.
Exactly. That's how I felt. Like, the Outcast twist, I can forgive. It kind of like follows, I guess, up the pirate theme of abandoned pirates coming back like a ghost or something. But the hourglass twist is too OP to like come back in the future. And for someone like, say, Jonathan, who could possibly win, be part of the winning team at that challenge, he's going to be a very... He's in trouble, mm-hmm. to say the least. But what I can, what I'm thinking is maybe there's a redemption for Jonathan in this, because don't forget, there's still an individual immunity challenge after this. So he can possibly win this.
He could, but if you remember the challenge from, and of course you do. But for anybody else, like the pick up the blocks with your toes challenge is like not necessarily. I don't see Jonathan this being his forte.
Yeah, exactly. If the game is a foot challenge, yes. comes back to, yes. he's gonna be in big trouble.
Again, I don't know if they'll run. I mean, we haven't seen them run the identical challenges as season 41, so I don't think we should think that. But those are like the types of challenges we see in the post-merge game, where they're really more like anybody's game, but they really don't play to somebody who is, you know, as big and physical as Jonathan is.
Yeah, exactly. Unless if this is a challenge that requires like you standing up, holding a ball or something.
Yeah,
Jonathan is in big trouble. Hey, I must say about the groupings for the group immunity challenge. I saw, if I'm not mistaken, yes, it was Omar. I saw Omar's retweet of the Survivor CBS Twitter page.
Okay.
I saw. I'm not sure who's the other person, but I think one of the two people I didn't see partaking in the challenge was Lindsay.
Okay, I didn't. I'll look at it right now, but I didn't see Omer's tweet. So in the tweet next time on Survivor, not exactly. Okay, so you saw who is it? Okay, so you saw that there was a group where
there was Mary Ann's team. They were wearing orange. They were. Lifting that boulder, if I remember correctly, there's this other team.
I didn't see Lindsay
on either team.
Okay,
I just don't recall who's the other person.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens there. Do you have a prediction for who is going to be the person who gets taken out at the merge vote?
I'm not particularly. I think it's a toss-up. This is just a wild guess, but it'd probably be Mike or Roxroy.
Okay. All right. All right, Mike or Roxroy. All right. Ian, anything else going on?
Nothing on top of my head. All I can say is it's a pleasure actually talking to you finally.
Yeah, well,
after many years of
I appreciate that. And it's very nice to talk to you too, Ian, okay?
Thank you very much, Robin.
All right, thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. Bye. Okay. Let's bring on, we have a bunch of requests now. All right, let's bring on, let's say hello to, let's try Desi. Okay. And really, I think that it, names are great. What I would love to hear is like scenarios of like, who do you think is going to start working with whom once we get to the merge? We have a lot of connections now between the tribes. I love to hear your theories about who are the people that you think are going to start to meet up and potentially work together? Desi, are you there?
Hi, Rob.
Hi, Desi.
First of all, I'm a patron of yours for the last couple of years.
Oh, thank you so much, Desi.
Yeah, I'm based in India, so I never get to chance to join some of your Facebook lives and all other patron things you do.
Desi, that's so cool to hear that.
Yeah. So anyway, I think back to your question. I'm not sure who will work with who, but I was listening to yours and Shannon's feedback today.
Yes.
And I think working hypothesis of yours was that I think orange type might be targeted. So not to go all fish back, but somehow my edit reading has been that someone from the orange type, Taku, for Shannon's benefit, since he doesn't like calling tribes by color names.
Yes, she didn't like that. Do you like to go by color names or tribe names?
No, I prefer color names also. I don't know if I will qualify myself as a super fan or not, but I don't remember tribe names that were. So I'm fine with colors.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, I think someone from Orange is the one I had earmarked for endgame and winning the season. So if they are targeted, that theory sort of goes out of the window. So I get the feeling someone from Blue will leave and if I had to guess, I would say either Tori or Rock. So I would probably end up being the merge boot.
Cool.
So, and also, I'm pretty sure that it's like the twist is going to be back. Somehow, I always assumed, okay, 2-hour episode will be the same format as last time. So we will see how it goes.
Desi, can I ask you, how did you get into American Survivor?
I actually used to watch it long time back also when the first original Survivor appeared. I watched till the All-Stars, I believe. And then I stopped watching. Then I work in some of the American companies. Like right now, I'm working in Google. Mm-hmm. So I sometimes visit US. So one time I was visiting there, Cagayan was airing. So I just started to watch Cagayan. And just like a lot of people, that season pulled me back in to Survivor. And then I was searching, because in India, I have nobody to talk to. And I remember just searching online for some... when I was doing a binge, like where can I read something or listen to something? Then I found your podcast. I remember, listening all the past podcasts from One World, like all of those seasons that you covered them. And then finally, I joined the rap community just to... I'm in the Facebook group, but I don't post that much again. But
yeah
just listening to all the past podcasts, etc., keep you in touch. But now there are a bunch of Survivor fans from India.
Okay.
Who are live on Twitter.
And Desi.
Just...
Should we get the Survivor know-it-alls in India ready to go?
I don't know if we have that many fans.
What city? What's the city that we should set it up in?
I would say, go come to the capital, New Delhi, because I am from there. But like okay. I said, I don't know how many people we can get right now in India.
Okay. It'll be a destination. We'll bring people.
That will be great.
Yeah.
I know. I'm assuming Sasha will come. She's from India, so I think, but she's originally from Bombay, if I'm not wrong, which is a different city here.
Okay. Well, Desi, this is so nice to get to talk to you.
Sure, for me too.
Okay, all right.
I just randomly logged into Twitter, I saw it, I was okay, let me click and see what.
All right, well, don't be a stranger, okay?
Yeah. Nice
okay.
to talk to you,
Rob. Nice to talk to you, too. Take care, Desi. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Great call from Desi. Let's see. Okay. All right. Laura, how about let's see what Laura has to say. Okay. Laura, are you there?
Hi, Rob.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
I'm okay. I have COVID right now. But
oh,
this is
making okay.
me feel a bit better. Yeah.
All right. Are you feeling okay, Laura?
I'm okay.
All right. Yeah. Laura, where in the world are you?
I'm in Kingston, Ontario, so okay. not far from Toronto. Where
okay.
I know.
All right.
A lot of, yeah.
We love to hear from the Canadian Survivor yeah. fans. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Tell me about the merge.
Well, I'm thinking, is there a chance that Marianne might use her idol on Jonathan if he is up for elimination or not elimination, but you know what mm-hmm. I mean? If he's not safe. I don't know. I'm wondering if maybe if Marianne's safe and he's not, it could be that she'd use her idol and then maybe we could get someone from green or blue leaving this week.
Okay, interesting. So, yeah. you know, we did get the scene last week about Marianne, you know, being a little bit, well, it was more that Jonathan was frustrated with Marianne, less so than, you know, Marianne was upset that he dropped the stuff on her foot. And she said, well, it's a good thing he's such a good shield. Does she think that he would be a good enough shield to play an idol on him?
If yeah, necessary? I think they're trying to. I think they're trying to throw us. I mean, they might bother each other, but I think Marianne's smart enough and she knows that Jonathan would be good for her game. So, and I think those four are pretty close, I think. So I could see it.
Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. then that it bounces off Jonathan and goes where?
I'm not sure about that. I mean, it's so hard to say. We don't know what three will be eligible to get votes, but if they were seeing the same as season 41, but maybe a Chantel or I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm non-committal here, Rob.
Okay. All right. But you called your shot of, okay, Marianne could play her idol for
yeah.
Jonathan here. And, you know, we saw like, you know, there were three idols in the game last time that this happened. And, you know, the idols did like prove, you know, pretty important where people didn't want to vote for Nasir because he had his idol. Mm-hmm. You know, Shan wasn't eligible. And then, of course, we had the whole knowledge is power business going on.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe Marianne will kind of play it like Xander and let everyone knows she has it. So maybe she'll just threaten to use it on Jonathan. And that could be enough to mm-hmm. throw the votes a different way.
Yeah. Just yeah. talking it through, we haven't yeah. seen knowledge is power show up. Is it possible that maybe the Exile Island person could potentially get the knowledge is power advantage where that if this was season 41, you know, Roxroy and Lydia, one of them could have potentially gotten that advantage. It sounded like that was just another extra vote.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I hope we don't get it. It's kind of my least favorite advantage, but
yeah, just the way that all of these, like now all of these advantages are involve like sharing the information mm-hmm. of who has what is the knowledge is power advantage, like a fundamental part of the way that all of these idols and advantages were created. Like, did they do this in a right. certain way because right. they know that eventually we got to drop knowledge is power in?
Yeah, you're so right. And they want to see it work out this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay, I could see that for sure.
Maybe yeah. it's like, again, I don't know if you need to break the hourglass. Like, maybe would you give up your immunity to get this advantage? I don't know if that's something that anybody would do, but I wonder if maybe the decision could be more about like getting this very powerful advantage.
Mm, yeah, I mean, I hope it's not the hourglass again. I think we all do, but mm-hmm. that'd be kind of cool. Yeah.
Okay, Laura. Anything yeah. else going on?
Not really.
You sound good.
Really? Okay, good. Well, Rob, you've never heard me before, so.
Yeah, I guess. Are you saying yeah. that normally your voice is so beautiful and this is you with COVID?
Yeah, I guess so, eh? I'm doing fine, but I hope everyone else stays safe. It's not fun.
Yeah, all right. Be yeah. safe out there. Laura, feel
thanks
better
so
soon, okay?
Okay, thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, great job there by Laura. We have a lot more people on hold, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to take more of your calls here on Twitter Spaces with predictions for the Survivor 42 merge.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
All right, we are back, and we have a lot of people still on hold, so let's go ahead and bring in Dave. Dave's picture looks like that he's giving a TED Talk, so he must have something smart to say.
You'd think so.
Dave, how are you?
Good, Rob. How are you doing, man?
Very good, Dave. Dave, where in the world are you calling from?
I am calling from Scottsdale, Arizona,
okay.
But I am another Canadian defector down to the States.
So. Okay. Dave, what was your TED Talk about?
I actually was not giving a TED Talk there. I was hosting the event. So I had put on a couple TEDx events when I was back in Toronto. So that was my that's my profile pic, and I'm sticking with it.
Okay. All right. Dave, what are your thoughts about the merge coming up?
I think the Hourglass is going to be back.
Okay.
And I know people aren't going to be happy about it, but I feel like it was such a big mechanism last season that they're going to have it in there somehow, some way. It may not be the exact same, but I have a strong feeling we're going to get a reset something. Maybe not as dramatic as the winners of the whole challenge. Or maybe they put the twist on and make it a little bit more difficult where you can reverse the challenge, but you're not safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why would you do that? Then I guess if you reverse the challenge, then if you're not safe either way, like what's in it for the Hourglass breaker?
Well, it could help build relationships with people. It could save their allies. It could save the rest of their tribe, something like that. I don't know. It just had to make it a little bit. It was too much of a softball last time, right? It was too obviously beneficial for her to do it, right? Mm-hmm. So that could be interesting. I have a feeling, a good feeling. I think that Tori's going to be the one to flip over somewhere.
To where?
I think, I don't know. I would probably go to Taku.
You know, just comparing the two groups, I feel like that for the most part that I feel like that Taku is more like outgoing. And I feel like that maybe like Marianne and Omer and Lindsay, I think that they might be more sort of like better recruiters than we heard from people from the Vadi tribe and they said, you know, Hai and Lydia didn't really talk to us. They were sort of like they talked to each other. I could see Mike being sort of like a little bit more like gregarious, but I don't know necessarily if Chanel as the person on the bottom is going to be recruiting Tori to come with them. I think that Chanel is more looking for an exit ramp.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think you're right in the sense that I could see Omer or Marianne or somebody like that being a lot more welcoming. Which would make it easier to pull her in. I think it'd be interesting to see how Hai and Lydia play it now, because they went from the bottom to the top real quick, and now it's just going to change all over again for them, right? So that'll be interesting to see how they navigate that, or if they're kind of still in that mindset that they're at the top, which often kind of leads people to make mistakes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the other connections that I can't stop thinking is going to happen is that I feel like that Drea and Marianne, that not only did they go to Shipwheel Island together in the first episode, but also that they both had the idols, that they had to say the phrases. I just feel like that, you know, to see, you know, Tori go there, like, it's like, I feel like she's trying to like flip away from her tribe. And like, I kind of feel like that there's some connective tissue. So it's like, it'd be weird for them to flip to the same place. That's the tricky part to make sense of this all.
Yeah, good point. I think the amulet, I don't think about the amulet all that much, but I think that could end up being, I mean, that makes people easy targets if you're one of the three of those people and you hear somebody's name come up to get rid of one of the other people, right?
Yeah. Okay. All right, Dave, anything else going on?
No, nothing else going on, man. Just hanging out in the good weather and enjoying the Arizona sun.
Okay. Well, all right. Enjoy the episode Wednesday. Okay, Dave?
All right. Thanks, man. Have a good one.
Take care. Bye. Okay. All right. Got a bunch of people on hold. Let's see how many we can get to. Okay. Even if we have to go a little bit lightning round. Let's say hello to our friends over at the RHAP Out of Context Twitter account. Always documenting what's going on the different RHAP podcasts. And Mamma Mia, I love to see that Mauro avatar. Out of Context Twitter account. Are you there? Okay, well, we're waiting for Out of Context. Let me unmute another. Hello? Yes, yes. Yes, Out of Context. May I use your real name, or would you prefer to be out of context today?
You may use my real name.
Okay, Josh, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good, Josh. What's going on?
Not too much. Excited for the merge tomorrow. Looking forward to it. I think I've got Roxroy being the one to break the hourglass. I think it's coming back. And I think he's going to break
Let's
the hourglass.
Let's get crack-a-lackin'.
He's been the go-off-and-do-nothing king of the season in confessional. And I feel like the merge episode is going to be his coming out. And he'll have a big episode. And his nemesis, along with Twitter's nemesis, Tori Meehan, will be going home at the merge. So that'll be nice.
Okay. We'll see what happens. Would Roxroy, though, be the person, if everything is the same as season 41, would Roxroy be the person to not get picked to go on the merge feast?
Potentially. Yeah. If Tori has anything to say with it. But I don't know. He may just be more of a giver when it comes to the feast. I don't know.
Right.
He's a dad.
Well, they let them pick last time. It was like, all right, who do you want to join you for the merge fees? And, you know, in the first time going through, I had thought, okay, well, Nasir can fend for himself. They'll send Nasir to go off to Exile Island. I was like, wow, this is cold-blooded to send Erica off to Exile Island. So I do wonder if maybe we could see it play out a different way where they say, okay, Roxroy can fend for himself. Send him to the island and maybe another person who you'd be worried about them living on their own.
Yeah. And I know, you know, there's been a lot of discourse on all the podcasts and in the space about Chanel and how she's on the bottom. Mm-hmm. I think she's going to win immunity. And I also just want to defend something real quick.
Sure.
Because I know you brought it up and like everyone remembers, or not everyone, but a lot of people remember the final five vote in 35,
yeah,
when Devin Pinto did that. And it was like, oh, yes, King, like great strategic move. But now when Chanel does it, everybody thinks that it's crazy and it makes no sense. So it's not, the math's not mathing. We all know why that's the case, but I think she just deserves a lot more credit, mm-hmm. Especially with the shot in the dark being in play. I thought it was a great move last week.
Yeah, it was good thinking. I mean, I didn't see too many people saying that it was a bad move as you did. I think it just wasn't as obvious what happened based on the fact that, like, when Devin did it, you know, Ben did have an idol and played it, and Dr. Mike went home, as opposed to with this, it was a little bit more of like, wait, what happened? Why did this? Why did she do this?
Yeah, no, I definitely think that's fair. I'm looking forward to it, though, and whoever is on the winning team and doesn't have to give up immunity. If that happens, they owe Danny McRae a huge thank you, at minimum.
And just one other thing on the Chanel side of it. And you know, Shannon and I talked it through on the feedback show. If you want like a more of a discussion about this, about, where she, probably thought it was going to be a 3-0 vote and it ends up being a 2-1 vote, which ends up then sending it to a tie. Mike in the sneak preview next week, he didn't like that this happened, but you know what? Go, like knowing if Chanel is thinking this way, going into the 4-4-4 split, Mike doesn't have to like it. Like, Chanel has a lot of power now coming into that. Like, cause if she flips, that's very bad for Vati. So that if Mike is in his feelings about getting his name written down, that's bad news for Mike.
Oh, it's horrible news for Mike, especially when everyone knows that he has an idol. And yeah, it's definitely not good. It would just be better to mend fences and get over it for the merge.
Yeah.
One last thing. I know people think, and I certainly do too, like I don't see Tori sticking with Ika, but I don't see any group wanting her. She's the least connected person in the game. She hasn't went to Shapley.
Yeah, but people want numbers. I don't think they care. Like, it's like, all right, we're not going to hang out with this person forever. But like, if this is going to help us, like, get through a vote or two, sure.
Yeah, yeah, that is fair. And I guess with how he's come off from other players in the exit interviews, I guess it would be better to have Tori around camp than Roxroy. But it's going to be interesting. I think those two from ECA are the
All right, I think we got where Josh was going, even if we dropped him at the last second. Okay, let's bring back. Let's try to say hello to. How about let's try Kay Sella. Okay, all right, Kay Sella, are you there?
Hey, Rob.
Yes, Kay Sella, what's happening?
Hey. Name's Kevin. Kevin. I'm calling from Chicago.
Kevin from Chicago.
Yeah. So, and forgive me, I had to step away for a minute if you already dug in on the amulet stuff.
But, no, but go
I think Hai and Drea are both self-interested enough players that they may try to take a shot at one another right away.
Okay.
I do see maybe Tori being drawn in by Hai and Lydia if they think to go after Tori. I think Tori is a free agent. But I'm not sure if they'll make that connection right away or not.
I would say that of anybody, like I think the person that Tori might have the most loyalty to is Drea. So yeah, I think that certainly like if it comes down to like her getting voted out or like flipping against Drea, she certainly would. But I feel like that of anybody in the game, like I feel like that the one person that I feel like that she sort of has bonded with has been Drea. So I wonder if Tori, like if it was like the chance to flip against Roxroy, I think she's there. But I'm not sure necessarily if she's jumping ship that fast to go after Drea.
Yeah, well, I think maybe Lindsay would be in the crossers.
I've thought that weakens
the Orange Tribe.
Yes.
I think. It is self-interested for both Drea and Hai to align in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't seen enough of Lindsay's gameplay to know sort of where her head's at about it.
An interesting note, Kevin, no Lindsay has ever made the merge. They get close, but 6th episodes have not been kind to Lindsay's.
Oh, that's a not so fun fact for Lindsay's, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure Ian from the wiki can vouch, but I think that, that wouldn't be the first time Lindsay's have gone out on the 6th episode.
That's so interesting.
No, Lindsay has survived the merge. No, Lindsay has survived pre-merge.
Yes.
Okay. To my recall.
Yeah.
Oh,
and this is not the merge yet. This is not that you have to earn the merge.
Yeah. I guess, to our knowledge, no one else knows about the amulets except those three, right?
To our knowledge, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I think that does play a really interesting, factor into this merge as opposed to 41, mm-hmm. where there already is some clear targets, even if they're not as connected as like a Shipwheel Island connection.
Yeah.
And so it should be interesting to see where that goes.
Kevin, I've really thought with the amulets, like that I know that we've talked about, like if it's a bounty or something that could make people working together. But I do kind of feel like that two of the three people could say like, hey, like, let's work together and get the third person out, and then like have some sort of like a, because an extra vote is nothing. It's like, hey, like we could do something with a vote steal, but you know, extra vote is like bupkis.
Yeah, for sure. And I think if they can knock out, because going in 4-4-4 too, I think makes it even more pressure to like, what do we do with this amulet advantage, if anything?
Yeah.
So I'm really curious to see what element that brings to it. I'm assuming that the producers saw what happened with 41 and that they made some sort of change to the hourglass, but I don't know. We'll all find out together tomorrow, I guess.
Okay, we'll find out together. All right, Kevin, anything else going on?
No, those are my thoughts right now. Thanks for having me.
All right, Kevin, thank you so much. Okay.
All right, thanks.
All right, I'm going to bring on a few more people. Another thing we haven't talked about yet is Omer does not know. He will not have a vote at this first tribal council. And so an interesting, like Omer, that he might be up for elimination in this group of six and also may not have his vote. Does he find out that he doesn't have his vote? Does somebody from Vati tell him that? We will find out. Okay. Let's say hello to Nathan. Okay. All right. Nathan. Are you there? Okay. Nathan.
Hello.
Hi, Nathan. How are you? It's going great.
I'm doing well. Glad to talk Survivor with you today.
Nathan, where in the world are you calling from?
I am calling from Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay. All right. And who's with you?
I am currently feeding my daughter, so I will try my best to keep her
okay.
under wrap. But yeah, I want to offer maybe a opposing take here.
Yes.
I kind of hope the hourglass does come back.
Okay.
And here's why. I think we all know the core Survivor, part of it is this social experiment, seeing how people react to certain situations, whether it be living on the island, working with different personalities. And part of what I really liked about this season is seeing how it's kind of, We're seeing two different groups of people work with the same set of rules and twists as last season. Mm-hmm. So like the shot in the dark, for example, used one time last year, and now we're seeing it used three times within five tribal councils. So pretty crazy. So I'm looking forward to the hourglass if it happens for the sake of seeing how this group of people react to it. So I think it could be really fun in that sense.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Nathan, I appreciate the opposing viewpoint because, you know, we did see like with Sweat and Savvy, things go differently with the other group of people. So it could be interesting to see how it's done, especially if they tweak it a little bit where it doesn't involve people losing a challenge after they already won. I think that was sort of like where, and I think that the show and Jeff, I think that they have to have not, like I will, you know, say it's a bad job on them if after the feedback they got from season 41, they go back and do the exact same thing, like for a show that says, okay, hey, we care about our players and we, you know, we don't make the show for us. Like we make it for our players and we want our players to have a good experience. And so if they got that feedback that they got and did it the exact same way, then I will be the first to say that they did, you know, a really bad job. But if it comes back in some different way, shape, and form, let's see what they do with it. Okay, Nathan?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that sounds like a plan to me.
Okay, all right. Nathan, have a great day, okay? Best to you and your daughter. Okay. All right. There you go. All right. So, appreciate Nathan as he's you know, being a good dad, multitasking, getting a lot done. Okay, let's say hello to let's try Noah. Okay, Noah. All right. Noah, are you there? And then we'll try. Let's try to take a couple of calls. I got about 10 minutes before I got to run.
I didn't have my mic unmuted.
Oh, you're good, Noah. How are you?
Hey, good. I'm calling from Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay, cool. Noah, what's going on?
Yeah. I'm doing good. I'm just on my lunch break at work right now.
Okay.
Hop on.
Cool.
I think way back when you guys had came to Omaha back in like 2002. Or something.
Oh yes. I was at the John Carroll charity event.
I think so. Yeah. I would have only been like 6 years old, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Noah, what's your prediction for the merge?
Yeah. I know you guys had talked a little bit about the promo stuff.
Yes.
I had watched the promos and they kind of spoiled quite a bit. Have you dug into that at
I
all?
Didn't do a frame by frame. I did watch the two sneak peeks.
Oh, okay. Yeah, with the 30-second promo they've been airing, like, it's like you can see which two contestants sit out, and it also shows a tribal shot with someone wearing immunity already.
You know what? But let's not do that because I feel like it ruins a little bit of the fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I won't give names. Yeah. I was just like, dang. Yeah, I was just like. The promo team, I guess, kind of like with the whole Potato Gate thing. Like,
well, Potato Gate changed the game. Potato Gate is like, well, I don't know. What are we looking at?
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm like, and then also they on the CBS store, the week one of the premiere, they posted the merge buff picture too.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, man, are they just like pulling, like making some repetitive mistakes on leaking some stuff.
Well, no, yeah. I will say the one thing, and I've said this, I loved Potato Gate because I think that sometimes like people in the Survivor community are like, oh, now we know this. We know. And it's like, well, maybe you don't know. You know, I love that there's like, they've injected some uncertainty into that, you know, everybody knows that because we got this, you know, piece of information now. So now we know what's going to happen. And it's like, maybe you do, maybe you don't.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it definitely kind of leaves it up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just kind of weird to see though, like, with the promo and all that. It's just like, man, like you would think like something as important as an immunity necklace they would give away.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, darn it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like as a fan, of course, it's annoying, but
yeah.
Because then you're just sitting there watching TV and a commercial spoils the episode for you. And
yeah.
Like,
yeah. I think there's diminishing returns of trying to, you know, look at that stuff too closely.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be awesome to like eventually make it out to know-it-alls event, but I'm in Nebraska. So.
Okay. Well, look, maybe that's been talked about as a site for a potential Robin Akiva Anita podcast live show. So you never know.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe hit up John. John still lives here.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
And then any boat rides in Kansas City. So that's pretty cool.
we'll put up the bat signal and see who we can get. Okay. All right.
Totally. Thank you so much, Rob.
Noah, take care. Enjoy your lunch, okay? Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Yep. Bye.
See you later.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. Let's a couple more. Okay. How about Grit Mythology? Let's see what Grit Mythology has to say. Okay. Grit, are you there? Yes. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hey, Grit.
Hi. I'm from the Philippines. Hello, Rob. This is like a dream come true for me because I've been watching all your podcasts for the past few months, especially during the pandemic. So, hello.
It is very nice to get to talk to you. And it's been really fun that we've heard from people all over the world on this Twitter Spaces.
Yes.
So I'm definitely going to do this some more. Okay. And what's your first name?
My name is Norman.
Okay, Norman. Okay. So what's going on, Norman?
I'm doing great. I'm currently working at home here in the Philippines.
Okay. All right. What do you want to talk about with the Survivor Merge?
Oh, first of all, I think Drea is in big trouble.
Okay.
If she will not win the immunity tomorrow, I think she will be in big trouble, because I think Tari is aching to vote her out, because she has a lot of advantages. So yes. So far out of the cast right now, she has the most numbers of advantages.
Yeah.
And I think Tari is smart enough to work with other castaways this season. So I think Tari will probably target her this episode.
Yeah.
And also I think Hai is aware that she has the amulet. So I think that will be another thing for them, for Hai and Tari to work together.
Yeah, we did see last season where, you know, the knowledge that Shan and Nasir had idols, like, did put like a big target on their back.
Yes.
And then, you know, you also have that Hai and Lindsay know that she does have the advantage amulet, and people know she went to Shipwheel Island, and Tori definitely doesn't know that information. So yeah, things are looking pretty good for Drea. I mean, I gave her chizzy points the other day, but I definitely could see a scenario where people are gunning for her.
I think most castaway these episode will be gunning for Jonathan if he is not immune, because he's simply one of the most strong, yeah, he's actually the strongest player, or strongest castaway this season. So
yeah.
I think a lot of players, or a lot of castaways will be targeting him. And I think Marianne will be playing his idol for Jonathan together with the extra boat, just to save Omar, simply because Omar will not have a vote for the upcoming tribal council. Well,
Jonathan, unless the hourglass reverses immunity, like Jonathan's going to be safe pending the hourglass, because they're going to have to dig that giant ball up out of the dirt. Like, there's only one person who's going to be able to dig that thing out, and that's going to be Jonathan.
I think he will not be safe if he's in the winning team and the hourglass will still be in play, because it will definitely not be in Jonathan's favor if he's on the winning tribe. So
yeah.
And then if Omar doesn't have a vote for tomorrow, I think he will ask Marianne to lay the extra vote for him, just in case that something funny might happen for mm-hmm. tomorrow's episode.
Okay.
And I think Hai is also in a great position.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very cunning for me. So he's actually my winner pick as of the moment.
It's a good winner pick.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Norman, thank you so much for the call, okay?
Thank you.
It was really nice to get to talk to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Rob.
Okay.
Bye.
Take care. Okay. All right. Let's just try to do two more. I got to pick up. I'm so intrigued by the Psychology of Survivor Twitter account is here. And I have to know what they have to say. The psychology.
How you doing?
Yes, yes. Who's this?
This is Joe. My name's Joe. I just started this page just to focus. I'm a psychology nerd. So
okay, Joe. I had to pick this up when I saw you calling in the Psychology of Survivor. Do you have any psychological things that you've noticed here on season 42?
I do, and I'm sure you're very aware of the way that the edit works in Survivor. It loves to throw subliminal messages at us. So, for example, this season, Romeo's been the main target of it. He's looked very good on paper. If you look at just the
my winner pick
professionals he's got, the things he said looks very good. But there's been multiple occasions where, for example, in the premiere, he talked about how he can chop bamboo with ease, and it cuts to a clip of him not being able to chop bamboo.
Okay.
It talks about him and Zach being a strong duo and how he really trusts Zach. And then he goes on to vote for Zach. So the edit has undermined him a few times. And going off of this, I don't know how much you're into the secret scenes.
Okay.
But the secret scene from last episode was the Blue Tribe and how they were talking about potentially being able to stick together. It was Roxroy
yes.
and Octopus. It was
Roctopus.
A very harmonious moment for them. You know, they
yes.
finally got to get some momentum going in their favor. And do you think that the reason that they didn't include that is bad for them? Or do you think it really provides no weight at all. I'm sure if there were secret scenes on the Amazon, there would have been none of you because they already included about 48,000 confessionals of you. But yeah, just wondering your take on that.
So I think that the reason sometimes that a secret scene gets cut from the episode is because it doesn't necessarily jive with the story that they're trying to tell. So if potentially we're going to be seeing the Ika tribe scrambling that and turning against each other, then I think that the story of Roxroy catching an octopus and there being like very harmonious camp life at the Ika tribe, I could see that being a reason why they would end up cutting that. So in my mind, I think that the reason why that's a secret scene and not in the episode maybe speaks to that Ika could be the group that starts really trying to turn on each other once we get to the merge.
Right. Yeah, I completely agree. How do you feel as well about Taku starting to get a little of negative content recently, especially with Jonathan and Marianne? There's a budding rivalry there. Do you think that that was included because that's they're going to fracture? Because it seems like that four kind of has to stick together with how tight they are and just the way the numbers are set up. I feel like they can bring in someone like Tori or someone like Chanel and kind of work to get a big threat out.
I don't know. The thing to me about the Taku scene was that's the only Taku scene I think that we had in the whole episode. And so they weren't going to tribal council. And I think that they probably didn't want to have them have like an offer in the episode. I think that maybe that might, that could have just be chalked up to we wouldn't have seen them in the episode if we didn't see that scene.
Right. Fair enough. Yeah. Well, I'm excited. This is, I think, the best episode of the season coming up. It's going to tell a lot. So
yeah,
I'm excited. Can't wait to listen to all your recaps on it. A big fan. And yeah.
Okay.
Forward to it.
All right. Joe, good stuff. Keep in touch. Okay.
Thank you, man.
Okay. Bye. Okay. All right. Let's take one last call. Let me check in with Larry here. Okay. Larry. Hey, Larry, how are you?
Hi, Rob.
Hey, Larry. What's going on?
I'm good. I've been listening to your podcast probably since Survivor Cagayan.
Cool.
So, hi. I'm from the Philippines. So,
oh, wow. So, I think that we've had so many callers from the Philippines today.
Yeah. So I've been a big fan of Survivor probably since the fourth season, Marquesas. So, that's the first season that I've seen live because they're broadcasting here in the Philippines right around 8 in the morning. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Larry, that you are a dedicated Survivor fan waking up early. And so you must know exactly what's going to happen at the merge.
Yeah. For me, I think since pretty much most of the people in the merge knows each person's advantage. So I think for those people, I think it's their best interest to work with each other. So specifically those that have idols. So that's Drea, Mike, and Marianne. So, and I think they're going to be probably pull in their number one. So I think for Drea's case, so Romeo and probably Marianne. So probably Omar, and then for Mike's case, Lydia and Hai. So I think that would be the concentration of, I think, the big alliance. So I think I think probably the people that are going to be in trouble will be Roxroy, Tori, and probably Chanel, probably this coming episode.
Okay. Yeah, well, pick one. Who's the one in the most trouble?
Probably Chanel.
Okay. All right. Yeah. We'll see what happens. Okay. All right. Larry, thank you so much for the call. Okay.
Thank you, Rob.
All right. All right. Enjoy the episode tomorrow night. All right. All right. Let me try one more. Let me go to Jack. Okay. Real quick, Jack.
Oh, hey. Hey, what's going on, Rob?
Jack, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Jack, where are you calling from?
I'm at Syracuse, New York.
Oh.
Freshman at Syracuse University.
Okay. All right. Near my old stomping grounds. Okay. All right.
Really?
Yes, I went to Oswego. I don't know if you've been about 40 minutes north of where you are, but that's where I went to college.
No, I'm familiar. Yeah.
Okay. All right, Jack, what's your prediction?
All right. So personally, I think we're going to see a lot of Omar coming up in this merge episode.
Okay.
He's been set up a lot in pre-merge stuff to have this relationship with Jonathan, acting like Mind Shield versus Meat Shield, how that's going to play out. I feel like he's almost certainly going to be trying to prevent that target from being on Jonathan, because he's also seen, like, in the, it was like episode 3, I think, at the reward challenge, everybody was like, oh my God, they have Goliath on the tribe. So Omar's got to be aware of the threat Jonathan puts on the entire tribe. So definitely think Omar's going to work on that. If I had to guess, if he can read the tribe well enough, I can see him pulling in Chanel, who I think is listening right now. So hi, Chanel.
Hi, Chanel.
Pull in Tori, maybe. See if he can get them working with them. And then I know there's been a lot of talk on here about Marianne playing her idol for Jonathan, which I don't think is going to happen. Because we did get that one scene, I think it was also episode 3, where they were like, oh my God, Jonathan, you're telling them all we're so close as a unit. So very clearly, Marianne's kind of afraid, if I had to guess, of being associated too much with Jonathan and kind of like having that target placed on her. And like using an idol on someone else is like the promise ring of Survivor. It like really shows allegiance.
Yeah. Shout out to Joe Millionaire. Sure. You know, I do think that like the connection between Chanel and Omar is very interesting, because I think that, you know, that there is like a bit of business that needs to happen of Omar finding out that he does not have a vote. What if Chanel went to Omar and said, hey, look, good news, bad news. All right. Bad news is you don't have a vote. The good news is I'm your vote. You know, use me, because she needs a place to go. She got through that tribal council, and now she would, I'm sure, would love to get in with Taku and say, hey, you know, and now Omar is like, okay, well, like, I don't know about this, but I need a vote. So, all right, sure. The more the merrier.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think could happen, because Omar's not going to have the vote. He's definitely going to have to rely on his social game, which seems to be his big specialty. He's kind of like the glue almost of the Taku tribe. We can see the drift between Marianne and Jonathan. So if Chanel goes to him and is like, hey, we need to work together because I know you don't have this vote, that's definitely going to tip Omar off, give him more information to play with. And then when it comes to target, that's going to be tricky. I don't know if it's not Jonathan, which he's got probably going to have two chances to win immunity if the hourglass even gets broken. So I don't know who's going to be the target. But if I had to guess, probably someone who hasn't, I know we talked about Edgic and the edit.
Give me a name, Jack.
Ooh. All right. Bold prediction. I'm going to guess
No Lydia. Fancy Fencerton. All right. Lydia.
I'm going to guess Lydia. Okay, that's, going on
I haven't
on
heard Lydia yet.
We've seen, I mean, I love her Twitter. Like, one of the best tweeters of Survivor of all time, probably. But we just got, you know, we got her package in the last episode, which I thought was very important. I really liked that.
Yes.
She feels a bit loosey-goosey. Chanel may look at the tight duo of High and Lydia and be like, I can't break this apart. I need to be able to kind of like work my way in there. If I get rid of Lydia, maybe that opens doors for me to work with High and Mike even more.
Well, the six safe and six not safe could complicate things where it's like that, okay, maybe Lydia would not be a target, but maybe perhaps like if High is safe and people are looking, okay, well, or Mike, let's say High and Mike and say are safe. It's like, well, we'd like to take a shot at Vati. All right, well, Lydia's out there. She doesn't have an idol. Okay, let's, you know, put the votes on her.
Yeah, I almost keep forgetting about the six safe, six not safe, because like, that really does control a lot of how the merge is going to go, which I kind of like. Take some targets off the table for some unorthodox gameplay. But yeah, it really does come down to if Lydia is safe or not safe. If she is safe, I can see someone like Roxroy, maybe Tori, if she doesn't work with Omar, because they seem to be kind of that the blue tribe, Ika tribe. I totally. They're like being set up to drift apart and crack. We talked about the secret scene that wasn't included in the episode. Obviously, that's the story they're trying to tell.
Yeah.
I feel like they'd be easy targets.
All right. Jack, Thank you so much for the great call. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Pleasure's mine, Rob.
All right. Take care.
Pleasure's mine.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. This was really fun today. I will definitely do more stuff like this. You know, I love the Twitter Spaces. Takes me back to my Clubhouse days. So very fun. I am going to put this out in the podcast feed because I thought that this was such a great discussion. If you are not already a subscriber to everything we're doing over at Rob is a Podcast, check out robisawebsite.com. Go to robisawebsite.com/subscribe. Get podcast feeds for all of the different shows that we're covering. Thank you so much for joining us here on Twitter Spaces, and looking forward to a big Survivor week. Christian Hubicki will join us on Thursday, Survivor Know-It-Alls, after the 2-hour episode on Wednesday night. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.